With every point and every goal really mattering now, many of Europe's biggest clubs made their move as match day six got underway. No draws at all. Wins for Bayern, Barcelona, Liverpool, Atletico, Tottenham, Marseille, Olympiacos, Atalanta and Monaco. The league phase table is fascinatingly poised. We'll unpack all the stories and look ahead to nine more huge games on Wednesday. Hello, I'm Chris Parrott and welcome to the official podcast after another enthralling night in the UEFA Champions League. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the European football expert Daniele Fisichella as the last players exit the pitch at San Siro following the game between Inter and Liverpool. And this Tuesday had it all across the continent, Daniele. Goals, penalty saves, comebacks. It was a great night of football.
Extremely exciting night of football with some surprising results, and the game in Milan decided towards the end. A big, big result for Liverpool.
And commentator Richard Kaufman, the race for the top eight and a direct entry to the round of 16 is hotting up.
Yeah, as it stands, Liverpool have moved into the top eight, level on points with Inter thanks to their win here tonight. A big, big win for Liverpool. You know, sometimes you need an old-fashioned performance. Keep it tight at the back, try and probe, try and find a goal, and they got one late on tonight. And yes, it is really, really tight for that push for the top eight.
Let's run through the results on Tuesday then. As we've mentioned, Liverpool 1-0 winners away at Inter. Finished Bayern 3, Sporting 1. Barcelona 2, Frankfurt 1. Atalanta 2, Chelsea 1. Tottenham 3, Slavia Praha 0. PSV 2, Atletico 3. Monaco 1, Galatasaray 0, Union Saint-Gilloise 2, Marseille 3, and Kairat Almaty 0, Olympiacos 1. Let's start with the match in Milan, though. Nine European titles between Inter and Liverpool, both very well placed going into it after five games, and the drama with Daniele and Richard came late.
31 minutes played, have this corner. Szoboszlai with the outswinger in towards Ekitike, and it's in! Liverpool taking the lead, and it's Ibrahima Konate right on the goal line, heading it in. Handball, no goal. Felix Weyer puts one hand against his arm, and the cheers are from the Inter fans. Konate denied. It remains Inter 0, Liverpool 0. It's going to be Barella to strike it, right-footed! And it was so close to finding the top corner. Whew, that was mighty close from Barella. Barella now twisting and turning, feeds it to DiMarco, out to the left-hand side. DiMarco gets it back from Thuram, now leads it to Bastoni to cross. Lautaro with the header, smart save by Alisson. Best chance Inter have had in the game. Lautaro denied by the Liverpool goalkeeper. Curtis Jones, the Englishman, finds Gravenberch. That's a nice touch. Gets away from Zielinski. Gravenberch up to the edge of the area to Alexander Isak. Left-hand side to Robertson. Great cross in. Super defending from Alessandro Bastoni right by his goalkeeper, because McAllister was in the middle waiting to knock in what would have been the simplest of goals. Terrific defending from Bastoni. There is a potential penalty check here from VAR. It's for the challenge from Bastoni. It was Wirtz in the area. There's no doubt Bastoni had a little bit of his shirt. It is a penalty to Liverpool. It's a Szoboszlai against Sommer. Whistles from the Inter fans. Sommer bouncing up and down on his line. Right footed. Szoboszlai finds the corner. And Liverpool have a late lead inside the Giuseppe Meazza. It's Inter 0, Liverpool 1.
Yeah, massive win for Liverpool in one of the toughest places to go in European football. Inter so strong, particularly at home. And Daniele, you mentioned a stat before commentary about how long it had been since Inter were last defeated at home in the Champions League. Just to put it in context, what Liverpool did.
18 games undefeated, and now comes the first defeat in the competition at the San Siro in a game that was balanced. They were tactically set up very well and probably to cancel each other out. I feel that game changed with the substitutions made by Arne Slot in the second half when Florian Wirtz and Conor Bradley came on. They looked lively, they picked up the ball in the right spaces, and Liverpool were able to maneuver the ball against a defense that was tight, was set up, and in the end created the chance that led to the penalty. A great boost, of course, for Liverpool, whose chances of finishing the top eight out of a sudden increase. Inter, of course, will lick the wounds, second defeat in a row after the one suffered at the hands of Atletico Madrid, and two difficult games coming up, Arsenal in January, and then Borussia Dortmund away.
Yeah, we promised big games earlier in the competition, evidence of that tonight and in those final two fixtures with the new league phase, the second season of it. Liverpool up into eighth with the win, on to 12 points, Richard. The penalty given after a VAR review, quite clear there was a tug of the shirt on Florian Wirtz, and Dominik Szoboszlai, given the role under serious pressure with the whistles raining down, dispatched it. With ease.
Well, he did. Jan Sommer went the right way, but it was emphatically put away by Dominik Szoboszlai, who I think, without question, has been Liverpool's best player this season. It's a huge result for Liverpool Football Club, for Arne Slot, in the context of this UEFA Champions League. Danny Ellis has been saying how, you know, no one's come here and won for years. It's not an easy place to come and beat Inter, and they were rock solid and they dominated possession. Then Slot's made the changes. Conor Bradley, you know, who was involved with the move that led to the penalty, was very much brought on, I thought, to shore up the defence, but in a way he was a terrific offensive option as well for Liverpool. Tactically, Slot got it right. The team performed as you would hope they would perform away from home. And they've got themselves a big, big win at a ground where it's not easy to get 3 points.
Could be an enormous 3 points at the end of the league phase. Liverpool then 1-0 winners away at Inter, thanks to that late penalty from Dominik Szoboszlai. Let's move to Munich now. Bayern were 3-1 winners at home to Sporting in one of the two early kickoffs. A Joshua Kimmich own goal gave the Portuguese side the lead before Serge Gnabry and Lennart Kahl got Bayern in front. Jonathan Tah then finished the scoring.
Bayern on the front foot. Kimmich with the delivery. Gnabry back across. It's three. Jonathan Tah. 3 goals in 11 minutes. They weren't really behind for long. And Kimmich, who scored the own goal, has a major role to play here in setting up Bayern's third. It's his delivery to the back post, headed back down by Gnabry into Tah.
Yes, a comfortable win in the end for Bayern, moving on to 15 points with Arsenal, and confirmed they will finish in one of the top 24 spots and therefore will extend their Champions League season into at least the knockout phase playoffs. Of course, they want the round of 16 and a straight entrance to that, and they have to finish in one of the top eight spots. But very, very well placed. As you heard, it was Tah who scored the crucial third for Bayern, and after the match he said his team had to wait for their opportunities after coming from a goal down.
You have to be patient, you have to stay in your rhythm and find the right moment to score. And we did that. We were aggressive in the duels and tried to get our rhythm and score. And that's how we did at the end. And we had to wait a little bit longer, but at the end we scored.
Some atmosphere at the end. Earlier, I caught up with our reporter James Thorogood, who was watching the match at the Fußball Arena München, and we began by discussing how Bayern had to dig deep, as Jonathan Tah mentioned, after trailing 1-0.
Yeah, an interesting test for the six-time European champions, but again, it's kind of the story of their season. They keep showing us that they have different ways to victory. They can face adversity, they can be behind on the scoreline, they can be down to 10 men, as they were against Paris Saint-Germain, and they still managed to find solutions to the problems being posed. And they responded as champions do. They came on strong, they carved out chances, and they scored their three goals, two from set pieces. And Vincent Kompany was very happy about the way his side capitalized on the moments they did have. He was very happy with the way they scored their goals. And of course, the highlight at the end of it as well, a pretty special performance from a young 17-year-old.
I was going to say, it helps when you have one of the brightest talents in world football. Lennart Kahl making history, scoring in the Champions League for the third game running, age just 17, turns 18, not until February. Just how special is he? Just how exciting is it to watch him in the flesh as you did tonight?
He is a magical player who, the minute he touches a football, you always get the feeling that something special can happen. And, you know, I've been in Munich long enough now to see many talented teenagers come through the Bayern ranks. They get a lot of hype, but they never quite make the breakthrough. They never quite hit the heights. And the ones that do break through, you know they've got something special about them. And Lennart Kahl certainly does. As you mentioned, three goals in a row in the Champions League, two player of the match performances this season, and really his star is firmly on the rise. And if he continues to set these standards, then it really is impossible to tell how far he can go. But he's clearly got the talent. He's got the winning mentality that you need to survive in this Bayern side as well. He's got a lot of experience around him, which I'm sure he's learning from, as he pointed out after the game. And he's building up a connection with the likes of Kimmich, Kane, Olise, Gnabry, that really is making him quite a dangerous prospect every time he takes to the pitch. So remember the name. It's one worth remembering.
We certainly will. And you sense we'll be speaking a lot more about him over the course of this season and many more years. Sporting, of course, both teams came into this game in the top eight. Remains to be seen where Sporting are by the end of tomorrow on Wednesday night. But with 10 points from six games, still very well placed. Did you see enough from them in one of the hardest places to go to suggest that they will continue their Champions League season as well, at least within one of the top 24 spots, if not the top eight and straight through to the round of 16?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anything's possible. Not many teams come to the Fußball Arena München and make Bayern work as hard as Sporting did tonight. And that is a great credit to them, even if it is tough to leave empty-handed. But they came up with a clear game plan. And Morten Hjulmand, their captain, talked about it afterwards, being proud of the fact that they executed that game plan. But ultimately, when you take on a team like Bayern München, sometimes their quality can rise above the challenge. And that's ultimately what happened today. Sporting learning the lesson that many do here in Munich, that if you poke the Bayern bear, sometimes the response can be quite vicious. But going forward in this competition, this is a bright young side that clearly have a lot of talent about them. They were shorn of three key players tonight, which might have made a difference on another evening. You never know. But moving forward, I think there's a lot to like about this Sporting side.
Top insight from our reporter, James Thorogood, who watched the game live as Bayern beat Sporting by 3-1. Daniele Richards, got a fascinating stat for you in terms of an era of football that we are watching. We spoke there about Kahl. Of the 33 goals scored by under-18s in the Champions League in history, 36% of them have been netted this year, in 2025 alone. Lamine Yamal leading the way with 4, Lennart Kahl not far behind on 3, and 3 other teenagers have also scored. I mean, this is a collection of players that we're going to love watching for many a year, you sense, at the top table of European football.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's like Lamine Yamal. He's like a veteran now. I got to see Lennart Kahl play a few weeks ago in North London when he was at Arsenal. And as James was just picking up there in that interview you did with him, it's not just the goals. He's just such an exciting talent to watch. And then you think about, you know, Arsenal themselves, that they've brought on a 15-year-old in the UEFA Champions League this season in Max Dowman. And there is something, isn't there, about when you see the young talent emerging like this. It is so exciting. You know, for years in the UEFA Champions League, you know, Messi and Ronaldo were the two players dominating. But then suddenly you see like Yamal come through, and now Bayern have this talent. Arsenal got so many youngsters, and, you know, every team, it seems, has an emerging talent. It's so hard to fulfill that and then have a career like Ronaldo and Messi. But at the beginning, everything's still possible.
And the fascinating stories also emerge outside of the big teams, the teams that won trophies in Europe, the likes of Dastan Satpayev, who plays for Karat Almaty, or Viktor Dadason, who plays for Copenhagen. It's great to see this new format Champions League giving opportunities to more teams who themselves give opportunities to more young players who are going to become the stars of the future.
Yeah, they certainly are. Let's move to another team who actually have an awful lot of young players. Chelsea, who had that sparkling win against Barcelona on match day five. Tonight they ran into Atalanta. They took the lead through João Pedro, but the Italian team roared back in the second half, equalised through a header from Scamacca, and then won it late on through Charles de Ketelaere, who is, he's hardly a veteran, another player of immense talent, great winner. What a result for Atalanta in Bergamo.
Best result of the season so far for Atalanta, who have left the best performances in the Champions League. And now with this win, they climb up to 13 points in the table, third, which is a great result for the 2024 Europa League winners in the first season with new managers after Juric has been changed with Palladino. So a statement win against the world champions Chelsea, which are left with work to do.
Yeah, Atalanta very nicely placed, as you mentioned. Let's head to Eindhoven. Goals galore often is when Peter Bosz's teams play, but for PSV they were beaten at home by Atletico by 3-2. Took the leads after Gus Till slammed them in front. Then Atletico really turned the tempo. Goals from Julian Alvarez, David Hancho and Alexander Sorloth. Ricardo Pepi got one back for PSV, but Atletico held on. We can hear from Hancho now after his first goal for Atletico.
Really nice to actually score my first goal for the club and here against my former rival. So, we knew it's going to be really important and tough game for us. And we saw it, especially in the first 15-20 minutes when they have a lot of chances and we struggled a bit in the start. But then we get into the match and I think then not just tactically, but as well the fighting spirit today and how we want to defend and how we want to play, it was really nice. So, I'm really happy for 3 points.
Yeah, moved to Atletico from Feyenoord in the Netherlands, back in the country, and of course scores his first goal. Congratulations to him and Atletico. By the way, Julian Alvarez has now scored 10 goals in his last 11 Champions League appearances. He is having more than one campaign now in this competition with Atletico. 3-2 to Atletico there, and 3-2 to Marseille just down the road in Brussels. They also fell behind at Union Saint-Gilloise, but two roared back. One goal from Igor Pichot, two from Mason Greenwood, and that meant that two goals from Kalalila for Union Saint-Gilloise ultimately were to no avail. We know with Roberto De Zerbi's teams, Daniele, it's attack, it's front foot football, and they have again thrilled us on this Tuesday.
And it'll never change, please never do. And Marseille are one of those outsiders for top eight finish, which would be an exceptional result for the French sides. On the other hand, Union Saint-Gilloise, debutants in the competition, they are giving tough times to big sides. I remember them losing against Atletico Madrid, playing a good game, losing tonight, again scoring twice. They are just outside the top 24. It is a team that has shown loads of positives.
Yeah, you sense that goal difference will be important again this season to finish in the top 8, to finish in the top 24. Marseille up to 16th, on to 9 points. Let's hear from De Zerbi after their win.
I'm very tired, but I'm happy. I'm for the result, for the performance, especially in the first half. In the second half, you have not to forget we lost two games in the last 7 days, and conceded the second goal was very tough for us. Maybe they dream to win the game, and we lost energy, but it's a big result.
I love De Zerbi. he coaches with such passion, his teams play with such energy, and you can hear he's absolutely knackered at the end of it. But big win for Marseille. Still to come on the podcast, news of a first away win in the Champions League proper in 10 years for Olympiacos.
Control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Another fight back now, this one for Barcelona at home to Frankfurt on their return to the Camp Nou in European football. First Champions League game at their home stadium for more than 1,000 days, which is undergoing this amazing renovation. And they fell behind to Frankfurt. Fine goal from Ansgar Knauf. But in the second half, Daniele, they came roaring back as well. Jules Koundé scoring twice in 4 minutes to give them a 2-1 lead. Two headers. And here is their forward Marcus Rashford on controlling the game and reacting well to being 1-0 down.
We're in a position where we have put ourselves in to win all of the games. So the most important thing today was to win. So I'm very happy that we managed to do that. I thought in the whole game we play quite well. I think we control the game. They score a little bit of an unexpected time, but is like this football. So I think we reacted well to this, and in the second half we managed to get the goals. So yeah, fantastic.
Barcelona onto 10 points now, 14th in the live league table. Daniele, Jules Koundé is a brilliant player, a yep. Wonderful defender. You wouldn't necessarily have him down as the first Barcelona player to score two-headed goals in a single Champions League match. He'd scored one goal in the competition in more than 40 appearances before tonight, and he pops up with two.
He's extremely versatile, and he often runs into the opposition box, so Barcelona are extremely lucky to have him. Four wins in a row for Barcelona after losing 3-0 to Chelsea. 10 points in the table. Obviously, they're still left with some work to do. But the next two games in the Champions League, they will feel they're winnable, away at Slavia Prague and then at home to Copenhagen. So clearly for Hansi Flick, who are top of La Liga with a good points advantage on Real Madrid, they are in a good moment. They have turned the corner. But you feel probably the best is yet to come from Barcelona in the second half of the season.
So close to the Champions League final last season. Of course, remember, moving to North London, Tottenham were handsome winners against Slavia Praha to move up to ninth and just a point behind Liverpool in the top eight. 3-0, an own goal gave them the lead, and two penalties, one from Mohamed Kudus and one from Xavi Simons, was enough to put the icing on the cake. And we can hear now from Simons, who was named the official UEFA Player of the Match.
You have to look for your spaces, create your own chances, and I think in the first half we had that chances, only we didn't score, and yeah, luckily we could score the two goals in the second half. Yeah, the first penalty I wanted to take, but Mo came, and yeah, happy for him as well, he can take it, and yeah, the second one I wanted really to shoot, so yeah, happy that he could give it to me.
I like that, Richard. Xavi Simons there, very honest, wanted the first, scored the second, and Tottenham having a very impressive season in the Champions League so far.
That's a very convincing performance. 3-0. They're on the verge, aren't they, of that top eight? And you know, given you know they won the UEFA Europa League last season as well, they'll be feeling you know Europe's good vibes could be back for them, and confidence growing under a new manager in Thomas Frank, and it relieves a little bit of the pressure. Europe does, and you know you keep producing performances like that. New players like Xavi Simons, you could hear, you know, with his honesty, but growing in confidence yeah. as well. You know, it bodes well for what may be to come in the new year for Tottenham.
Certainly does. Two more fixtures for everybody. Remember, after this, we go into January, and we can't wait for that. The league phase is going to come to a dramatic conclusion, you imagine. Olympiacos have given themselves a great chance of joining the party in the knockout phase, because they were 1-0 winners away at Kairat Almaty. Gelson Martins with the match winner, and we can hear how he did it in Kazakhstan.
Taremi
good early ball to Martins. Elkabi is in the middle. Martins went alone, and Olympiacos finally had their breakthrough. You wondered if it would ever come, but Chmielen Anabiekov in the Kairat goal is beaten at last. Gelson Martins with his second goal of this year's Champions League. They want a second goal to seal it. Olympiacos and Jeremy, oh, against the post. Mouzoukidis, Elkabi saved and then put wide by Jeremy. This is quite incredible. Olympiacos hold on for the victory. It finishes Kairat Almaty 0, Olympiacos 1.
Dinamo Zagreb in 2015 was their last away win in the Champions League proper, so some achievement for the team from Piraeus. We can hear from their defender, Julian Bianconi, now, who's been speaking to Anton Lisak about that hard-fought win in Almaty.
Today it was a really tough game, again a strong opponent with a special condition, but I think we did it perfectly today. We was really strong in all the battle, in all the duels. We created a lot of chance and we finished with the 3 points. We could score more, of course, but we are happy with the 3 points of today, and now we have two more finals to go, and we will play all the game with the same energy to reach what we wanted and qualify to the next step.
And last one about your fans. So we saw some fans from Greece here. What can you say about them, about their support here?
As I said just before, it's incredible to be part of this club. As I always said, we are not only 11 players on the pitch, or we are not only the technical staff and all the players. We are a whole family. We have the people who was here, who travel all the way to support us. We have the people also who was in front of the TV, and we have a crazy fan base also in Greece and all over Europe. So I'm just thankful and so proud to be part of it.
Yeah, a very important win there for Olympiacos, who move up and into the, well, just about on the cusp of one of the top 24 places. They're only a point behind the likes of Paphos and Juventus now, who play on Wednesday, who are just above them and in the final spots that would head into the knockout phase playoffs. One more game to sum up. It came in Monaco. Monaco 1-0 winners at home to Galatasaray, and shortly after, the man who had saved a penalty for Galatasaray in goal had come off injured, Danieli. Florin Balogun stepped up with a huge goal for Monaco, the only goal of the night.
And what a result for Monaco, who in the last two home games have beaten, of course, Galatasaray and Paris Saint-Germain in Ligue 1, unbeaten still at home in the Champions League, with a good chance to finish in the top 24 overall. A good night for the French sides.
Certainly is and was, yes. 9 points they move on to, the same actually as Marseille, but we've been mentioning how tight it is. Monaco 2 places below Marseille, both currently heading through to that knockout phase playoffs. That table is going to move so much over the next month and a bit, until we head to the end of January and the end of the league phase. That is the 9 matches done and dusted on Tuesday then. 9 more to look forward to on Wednesday in the Champions League. Match day live, available on UEFA.com, the Champions League app, and our commentary game had to be a repeat of last season's knockout phase matchup, because Real Madrid host Manchester City. Rodrigo ahead of this game calling it a true Champions League derby, and one of these sides has eliminated the other in each of the last 4 seasons. So who will triumph in 2025 in the league phase? We also have Arsenal away at Club Brugge, which should be some game. Athletic Club hosting the defending champions Paris Saint-Germain. Don't miss it on Wednesday. It is going to be a real ride. And this league phase table now, Daniele, is really, really taking shape. This is the top eight after half the teams have played 6 of their matches. Arsenal top ahead of Bayern on goal difference on 15 points. Atlanta now up to third, 2 points behind those two. Then come Paris, Inter, Real Madrid, Atleti and Liverpool, all on 12 points. And then Tottenham just out of the top eight on 11. But it's really tight all the way down to those places around 24th, 25th, where that cutoff comes. And then teams below 24 ultimately are eliminated. But there was drama everywhere. What was your moment of the night on Tuesday?
Charles de Cattelair, winner for Atalanta, a big win, the biggest win of the season for La Dea in a big European night that propels them to the third place, and really a statement victory for the Italian side.
If you're looking for someone who's provided inspiration for Liverpool, it's been Dominic Szoboszlai. He was given the opportunity late in the match to score a winning goal. He did it. It could prove to be not just a significant moment of the night, but a significant moment of Liverpool's season. Getting a win away at Inter is no easy task, and that was the moment that provided it.
Certainly was. That is all we've got time for this evening. My thanks to Daniele and Richard for their company. Don't forget, you can download the official Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. And we're back, as we mentioned, from 8:45 CT on Wednesday, that huge game between Real Madrid and Manchester City. Full commentary, updates and goals as they go in from the other games throughout the night. Until then, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.